You're listening to the Farmyard Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Farmyard. It's a movement, have you heard? And our Patreon supporters. Episode 5, Biodigesting Close to Home, with host Linda Borgi and guest Maria Blon.
Well, hello everyone. Linda Borgi here from Farmyard. It's a movement, have you heard? With our Digging Deep into Farming Your Yard. And we have a great interview lined up today. This wonderful human being, her name is Maria Blon. She is an international speaker, published author, and president of Heart in Haiti. She began her professional life as a holistic math teacher at the college level, teaching students and future teachers to love mathematics through hands-on interactive learning. Her life has transformed many times, mostly notably when she and her daughter volunteered in Haiti after the devastating earthquake in January of 2010. During this time, she helped launch the Heart in Haiti School, where she has trained the teachers and started sustainable programs. Maria loves growing food year-round in her small city gardens in Middletown, New York. And it's really interesting. Maria and I know each other. We're kind of like sisters from another mother, but yet we never met. We've been following each other's work for about 4 years now. So I find it very synchronistic that, you know, she was one of the first people I thought of to interview. So let's get Maria on the line. Maria, are you there?
I'm right here, Linda.
Hey, how are you this fine day?
I'm great. It's wonderful to be here with you and your listeners who are interested in growing their own food.
Isn't that great, Maria? Well, you know what? I would like to start this podcast off with you giving our listeners a little bit about you and how you came to where you are today.
I think you did a good job of introducing me. I'm going to give a little background on my gardening. When I was younger, you know, my mom was always gardening and I loved kohlrabi. And I just never thought she grew enough kohlrabi. So I said, Mom, could I have my own plot? I had my own plot. I tended to it. I grew so much kohlrabi. I ate so much kohlrabi. I have to say, it's a little bit hard to eat it now.
How old were you?
I was 9 years old.
9 years old. You know, it's interesting because my granddaughter, for her third birthday, a couple of months prior to her third birthday, I said, Riley, what would you like Grandma to get you for your birthday? She said, Grandma, I want a tree. I said, you want a tree? She said, what kind of a tree do you want? She said, I want a peach tree, Grandma. So that's exactly what I got her. But you know, we have to get them young. And I'm sure you're aware of that with not only being a teacher, but now, you know, with having this school in Haiti with young children, that it's the skills that we need to give them because it's really their planet at this point. Do you agree with that, Maria?
Yes, I definitely agree.
And if you teach them, right, how to grow it, then by the time you're our age, you'll be sick of kohlrabi.
Yeah, no, that was just a funny story. I've learned to diversify now and grow a lot of different crops, and I love all my veggies. And what's really nice is, you know what, every place I've lived, whether it was an apartment or the house that we have now, we've always gardened. And it's really nice that even though my daughters, you know, they would follow me and do a little bit, now they're both gardening. Karina, my daughter, who lived and volunteered in Haiti for 2.5 years, would garden with like leftover soup containers, tomato containers on the roof. So she lived in a tent on the roof and would garden up there and then garden at the school. And my other daughter, Anna, is finishing her last year of college, and she is leading a preschool group to garden at her college's community plot. So, you know, really the just leading by example and having them see me grow food in a lot of different ways over the years has had an impact on them. And then they're passing it on to the younger generation. It's really, really nice.
Well, that's the way we used to do it, right? That's where these skills were given to us. They were given to us by our ancestry. But at some point in time, when food became cheap and processed, those skills went by the wayside because now we had TV dinners and we didn't really have to have that connection any longer. And that's really what it is. It's that connection. But when you look at places like Haiti, right, they don't have an option for that. If they don't grow their food, they don't eat. It's very basic. Tell us about your garden in Middletown.
Well, we have not a very big plot, but it's not a huge yard. It's just a small city yard. You know, our house is on one side, and then we have an extra lot that's like, 50 by 100. So we have a fairly, we made 25 foot by 15 foot fenced in because even in the city, we have lots of deer and rabbits.
Yeah.
And I'm a no-till gardener using the lasagna method. Mm-hmm. And to make the initial garden, we just took all of our leaves from the fall, put it on the plot, and just layering compost and hay and manure. And our soil is just amazing. It's so loose and just flows through my hands when I dig in the dirt. So, you know, we've just kept layering and layering. I've never tilled the ground. And, you know, we just do traditional gardening in there. And we also have blue barrels a friend has given me from his work. And this summer I'm experimenting with growing potatoes.
So I knew you were going to say potatoes. Yep.
Yeah. So we drilled holes and we're going to grow potatoes in there. Mm-hmm. And we've had a greenhouse that my husband fixed up and we've used it and things have stayed just alive all winter in the past. But we just got one heating bulb this winter, and I've been growing greens all winter, and it's so nice year round to be able to grow food and not have to go to the store to make a lettuce.
Most definitely. If you had to estimate, what percentage of the food that you're consuming are you producing? Just a ballpark.
Yeah, that's something that I have to figure out. I would say in the winter, maybe 15% right now, because I still buy carrots and broccoli and things like that, or things that I run out of. In the summer, I would say that at least 80% of our vegetables we grow and eat and then save. And each year it gets more, you know, as I realize I can plant a big garlic crop outside of the fence. And I'm hoping that the garlic I have planted there will last me all year round. So it's a process of each year I grow a little bit more and then the percentage gets higher as I learn different methods to grow the food and store the food.
And you were a mother of two, right? And you were a working mom, weren't you?
Yes.
And you were still able to grow this food.
Oh, yes. Always able to grow the food. I am now volunteering full time with Heart in Haiti, yes. And I have a more flexible schedule.
Right.
So it's easier for me. It used to be college would start in the fall and I'd be busy and I wouldn't have as much time to, you know, process the food and do the fall kinds of things. So it's nice to have a bit more time now to really pay attention year round.
Yeah.
But gardening doesn't take much time. It's also a matter of taking time to plan. Like this winter, I planned out where things are going in my garden. Yeah. And I'm going to be able to grow more food than the past because I'm using the space more carefully.
Well, that's exactly what FarmYard teaches. We teach the skills necessary. I'll give you an example. If I'm starting a season, right? And it's a whole new territory for me, right? My beds down here are 2 feet wide and 10 feet long. All of the beds are 2 feet because anyone can straddle 2 feet. Now, when I went out to harvest my pea shoots, I do everything on a stopwatch because I want to know how long does it take me to harvest a bed. If I have that information, then I know how long it will take me to harvest 10 beds or 20 beds. So that I am able to plan out my day, my week, my season, my year. But if we don't collect the data, right, we don't have the information. And it's so funny because these are the methods that I was taught as a spin farmer. I was one of their trainers, and I broke off from spin farming only because they weren't interested in teaching about the soil. And I really felt that if you don't teach people about the soil and you teach them just how to go out and grow, you're setting them up for a little bit of disaster because everything starts with the soil. But once I've collected all that information, planning is very easy and it infiltrates your whole life. Like you start to like just take a look. How long does it take me to make that bed? And then you're always trying to get yourself to do it a little bit better. The first time I harvested the pea shoot bed, I took the information. The second time when I did it, I was like 2 minutes slower. So it's interesting. It's interesting how we could break down a system so that it makes it easier for the person doing it. And I really just want people to know that here you are, you were a working mother, and yet you were able to grow a certain percentage of your food. So why don't we talk a little bit about Haiti? Let's talk about how the Heart in Haiti School started. And then I want to get into biodigesters. That's so interesting for me.
The reason we went down to Haiti, my daughter was a junior in high school and just did not know what she wanted to do, except that she wanted to help in a third world country. After the earthquake struck in January of 2010, her guidance counselor at the school, Shadrach St. Louis, went down to his home country to see what he could do to help. And he brought back pictures. And Karina saw the pictures and the video of their volunteering down there. And she wanted to go the next time. And so asked him, and he said, well, you know, you're not 18 yet. You'd need a parent to go with you. Oh. And then next breath, she said, Mommy, will you go with
Mommy.
Me?
Mommy.
Yes. So I went down. We went together in July 2010. We helped knock down a damaged school and have helped rebuild it when she graduated from high school. Shad was moving down there, and she moved down there, and she lived and volunteered for 2.5 years to get the school started.
Wow.
It moved locations several times, but we were fortunate enough to be able to purchase 2 acres of land, and the school was built with shipping containers, and there's gardens there, which we grow food to feed the children, and we have all kinds of tropical fruit trees and the miracle tree, the moringa tree, which that has tremendous nutritional value. The children eat that in their food. And we're also looking into developing a business with the moringa, because if you dry it and, you know, make it into a fine powder, it's the best multivitamin you could take.
I investigated the moringa. Oh my God. The properties of that tree is incredible. And it grows fairly quickly, doesn't it, Maria?
Oh, it grows very quickly. Mm-hmm. And it you know, because it grows so quickly, it needs to be harvested all the time.
Yeah.
And you can just take a branch and make a new tree. Ugh. It's very easy to keep going, and it's so extremely nutritious.
I don't know why. I believe somewhere I read it's also called the giving tree, because you constantly have to harvest it.
Yes.
If there's too much for you, you have to give it, because it won't happen unless you constantly harvest it. So that was very interesting when I read about the moringa on the website. I said, oh my goodness, look at this moringa seeds.
Yeah, they're really neat. They're round with wings on them. They're really cool.
Like a paper around it, right?
Yes.
Looks like a little paper around it. Now, do you take that paper off?
No, I'm trying to grow them here. It's really too cold here, but yeah. I do have a little tiny seedling up, and I've been keeping it warm. And
nice.
I just put the whole seed in a pot. So far it's alive. I'll do my best to keep it warm here in New York.
I'm going to try it. I am from the Hudson Valley, and that's where Maria and I were acquainted, but I am now in Beaufort, South Carolina. So I am going to try them down here and see if I can get some to take.
That would be wonderful.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? So they have a garden there. You teach them how to grow, the children.
Yes.
And those are in naturally organic, sustainable methods.
Yes.
What types of crops are they growing, Maria?
Well, we have squash and corn. Nice. And beans, peppers. Things grow so easily there. It's just amazing. The only trouble is the water.
Yeah.
And we have a creek behind the school, and they'd been, you know, pumping from the creek to irrigate the moringa and the crops.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, since Haiti is so deforested because of the poverty and people cut down trees to cook their food, there's global warming on that side of the island, so we get less rain. And we are working with an organic farmer who's helping us get a design to drill a well and have an irrigation system that uses the least amount of water.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a challenge that we have now, is getting the well. The rainy season should be coming soon. I hope it does. And, you know, the other thing is with the land, that there's no garbage removal in Haiti. So there's just garbage everywhere, except on our property, we have, you know, garbage barrels, and the kids know to put the garbage in there. And so the school is just an oasis. And we also have a system that we can take the food waste mm-hmm. and organic materials. Mm-hmm. We have a biodigester, which is a big tank. Ours is 1,000 gallons. And we put the ground up food waste in. We get liquid plant fertilizer and also clean cooking fuel out. So even though we used to cook with charcoal, which stung the eyes of our cooks and it hurt their lungs, now we cook with gas that we make at the school from waste. It's really, really wonderful.
Did you build this digester yourself?
We had help from mm-hmm. Kathy Puffer and T.H. Culhane mm-hmm. of Solar Cities. They've traveled around the world starting biodigesters. Mm-hmm. Kathy Puffer actually has 2 IBC tank biodigesters in her basement in Tilson, New York, and she produces all of her own cooking fuel. So it's something that can be done in New York as long as you have a way to heat the tanks.
Mm-hmm.
And in Haiti, all year round, you can make your own free cooking fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that has the potential to bring the green hills back to the country.
Isn't that just so exciting? Because, you know, in the United States of America, we are throwing away 50% of all the food that is produced. That is insanity. I mean, if everyone knew what it took, you know, from the seed to the plate Number one, we'd have more respect for food and food would have a higher value. We've gotten so used to food being cheap that our bodies are experiencing what cheap food does. So just the fact that we're throwing 50% of this food away and it could turn into methane is, you know, we have so many options in that area because I understand, you know, if you have, let's take an average family of four, right? If they're conscious about their food choices, they're not going to have a lot of waste. They're not going to have a lot of food waste. So something even like a compost pile, right? Compost can be tricky in order to get it to finish to the end. You know, there's techniques that are needed. One thing that I've recommended that most students do immediately is get yourself a bag of red wigglers and put them in a bin and put all your compostable material in there and let those worms, you know, eat it and poop it and start gathering it in that way. But could you imagine if supermarkets had a biodigester?
Yeah, that would be wonderful. And it bothers me so much, the food waste. You know, we put out a tiny bag of garbage each week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always compost and make dirt for our gardens. And there, you know, when you have visitors come to the house, they may not finish all their food. And it used to bother us a lot that, oh, man, this food we cooked and we grew, what are we going to do with it? And now we just grind it up in our blender and we put it into the biodigester and we make gas and fertilizer. And, you know, the compost is wonderful for all organic materials, plant materials, but you can't put bacon grease in there.
No.
So a biodigester can process the bacon grease. It's anaerobic. Anything you could put into your belly, you could put into the biodigester. So my daughter likes to eat bacon and she'll bring me her grease just so we don't have to throw it away in the garbage and we can make gas out of it.
Was it expensive to purchase?
Oh, no. You know, our little biodigester here was made out of a 55-gallon barrel. Uh-huh. It's in our greenhouse. Uh-huh. And it's not a big enough unit to do all of our cooking with, but it was enough to know that, okay, we can do this here in New York. Let's try this now in Haiti. And, you know, you can make a bigger system like Kathy has out of an IBC tank, which you can buy, or a lot of companies use them, and then they're looking for somebody to take them. So
what is an IBC tank?
An IBC tank it's a big cube, plastic, and then it has a metal grate going around it to keep it stable. And farms use it a lot to put water in for spraying their crops. It's used to ship liquid materials. It's 250 gallons. So it's a big cube.
Right. And companies are looking to get rid of those.
Some are. Yeah. I mean, sometimes you have to purchase one, but I have a friend who works at a flavor processing, you know, they make flavors for restaurants and things like that. And mm-hmm. they have lots of blue barrels and IBC tanks. So we get them from them.
Where could the listeners go to get more information on building their own biodigester?
SolarCities.eu.
And I'll make sure that that's in the show notes. I'll have the website. I'll put the website in the show notes here. So I have one last question for you, Maria. If you could possibly imagine that you never grew anything in your life, right? Would you still recommend to that person to go out and dig up their lawn?
Yes, because, you know, our lawns are, unless you're using them to play on, I mean, some people, I drive by in the country and they have these huge, vast lawns. And then I always imagine, you know, what if that was all food growing in there and you could grow delicious food to eat and to share with friends? How much more productive and delicious is that? It just makes so much sense. If we can grow our own food, know where it comes from, nourish it, and see the whole process all the way along, it's just such a wonderful thing to do. And food tastes so much better when it's picked and eaten right away. It has a whole different flavor. When we get it at the grocery store, you know, there's things shipped from New Zealand, from all the way across the world. And you think about how much gas is taken to just ship the food over. If we can grow it ourselves, it makes a whole lot more sense.
Well, as a side note to that, you know, that is the song of Farmyard. I mean, we have 48 million. Let's just stop there for a second. 48 million acres of lawn in our country, folks. It is the largest cultivated crop in the land. 40% of the drinking water on the East Coast goes to water that crop. I've said it once, I've said it a billion times. That is stupidity. It's stupid. It does nothing but waste. Wastes our time, wastes our money. I mean, how many lawn tractors do people have to buy? How many hours on a Saturday do they have to spend? And money in gas just to mow it, just to maintain it. We brought it here from England to feed the cattle. And the English did like the lawns. It's a bad habit. We have to drop the habit. And you talk about the trip the food has to take. My God, even if we just take organic food, let's take the travel of lettuce. Okay, because in Walker Valley, I was named the lettuce lady because I love lettuce. I just went 1 year in 1,000 square feet. Every 5 feet, I grew a different variety. It looked like a patchwork quilt. But if we don't start to do this soon, we're going to run out of food. That's what we're going to do. And in order to do it, all we need are the skills. And they're basic skills. They're not being taught to us. But once you learn the concepts, they could be applied by anyone, anywhere, at any time. And I know that personally, and I know Maria knows that, in Haiti, and I've taught in 5 African nations and in Australia. We have to wake up in our country to this, and we all need to go farm our yards.
Yeah, and it really is a simple thing to do. And I want to tell one story. My daughter Karina loves to regenerate food, so we get purchase, say, celery in the grocery store. And when we chop off the bottom, put toothpicks on and put it in water, it goes to root. Well, Karina did this 2 years ago. She planted the rooted celery in our greenhouse. It grew. It ended up flowering and going to seed. I saved the seeds. This winter, I planted the seeds, and now I have tons of little celery plants in our garden, in the greenhouse, and it's just a cycle that keeps on going. So we grow food, we save the seeds, we can grow our own things from that year after year. And, you know, people worry about the future, but as long as we grow our food, save our seeds, we're in good shape. We'll always be able to eat.
That's right. And it's all about food and water. And just the other day, I had a head of garlic. And you know how you get to the center and sometimes there's like 20 tiny little ones, really, really tiny, tiny little ones that aren't worth peeling? Well, I didn't peel them. I went outside and I stuck them in. I stuck them in a bed. Just the other day, I went out and I said, oh God, those nasturtiums are really trailing. And I lifted them up. And sure enough, there was those little garlics that I just stuck in the ground. And boy, you take the tip of a green garlic and you put that in your mouth. It is so much more powerful than the actual clove itself. Well, anything green is going to be really going to knock your socks off. So yeah, That's what we need to do. And we are doing it. And we're doing it one yard at a time. I want to thank you so much, Maria, for spending this time with us. It's really been great learning about your project in Haiti. All of this information will be in the show notes. And like I had said to you earlier on our phone call, anything that FarmYard can do to help your school in Haiti, we would love to do that. And you had mentioned helping to write curriculum. And sure, we would love to have a hand in that, the writing of the curriculum. So thank you so much for spending this time with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Linda. And good luck to everybody farming your yard.
Next up on the FarmYard podcast, Biodynamics, It's What's for Dinner, with Stuart Lundy, founder of Perennial Roots Farm. This podcast is community supported. We thank everyone for tuning in, and a special thank you goes out to all our Patreon supporters. If you enjoy our content, please subscribe and share. You can help support us through Farm A Yard, all one word, on patreon.com.